Hi, and welcome to Mouse Chat for Friday, January 14th, 2011. This is Lisa, and joining me today are Chris, Lauren, George from Imagine Nerding, Chip from Chip & Company, and unfortunately, we don't have Steve with us this week, and we don't have Natalie. So today, we're going to have a couple of announcements, a couple of news stories, and then today's show topic is going to be, what are your top five tips for newbies, first-time visitors to Walt Disney World? I have to jump in with my news story. I mean, it's not real recent news or anything, but it's something that I found that I need to share and clear my name. So I found a little thing on the Dream, considering that it's, you know, going out to sea soon. Steve had posted from our earlier cruise when the two Disney ships were passing. He did the horn thing where they were going back and forth. And you can hear me say on there, they should invent a response. They should develop a response. Well, my point was, you know, they're both going when you wish upon a star, and then the other one goes when you wish upon a star, and they're going back and forth, back and forth. Well, I'm just going to read this little excerpt that I found on the internet, and it says, in regard to the Disney Dream, and it'll toot not just the first line of when you wish upon a star, but it'll be able to answer with the song's second line, makes no difference who you are. And so when the ships pass, you know, on the rare occasion that they do pass, they'll be able to actually respond instead of just mimicking what the first one said. So I like that. The Dream is awesome because it can say the second line and have a true response.
I wonder if they saw your YouTube video.
You know what? I think they did. I told Steve they stole that idea from me. They must have, because honestly, how ridiculous is it to have the two ships going back and forth and saying, when you wish upon a star, when you wish upon a star? Back and forth, back and forth.
They actually talk?
No, they go, don't make me do it. They have the horn.
Do it.
Send them the link.
Yeah, I should send them the link. Steve can send them the link. But it does the da 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 da. And then the second one does the same thing instead of doing the appropriate response, which should be makes no difference who you are, which is way too high for me to even do as a horn.
Wow, that was really good though, Lisa. That was impressive.
All right, moving on. News stories. Chip, why don't you jump in?
Okay. Coming this Valentine's Day, Disney Channel will be debuting Disney Junior, a new multi-platform brand devoted to children ages 2 to 7 and their families. It was announced today by Carolina Lightcap, President Disney Channel's Worldwide. Disney Junior will invite parents and grandparents to join their children in the Disney experience of magical, musical, and heartfelt stories and characters, both classic and new, while incorporating specific learning and development themes. Disney Junior will launch content across the daily television block of Disney Channel, an integrated website, video on demand, mobile, and paid download platforms. And then it lists out all the different shows like Jake and the Neverland Pirates. I mean, there's just a ton of stuff. Timmy Time. Tinga Tinga Tales. One on here that I didn't really care for was Babar and the Adventures of Badoo. Do you guys remember Babar?
Gesundheit.
Oh, thank you.
I do.
Yeah.
I wasn't a fan.
It takes place in a zoo, right?
I don't know. I don't remember.
Or a circus, maybe?
Oh, Chris, I hope it's not a circus.
The original story
really
didn't know. Babar was the king of the elephants of his own island. So, but I don't know where they've taken this one. But I know the original one wasn't. So, it was French.
Ooh, la la.
Yeah.
Oui,
exactly.
Oui.
Ooh, la la. So, but that's all I
remember.
I remember him. Being the librarian. Do you want me to jump on the
French major? And almost French major?
Yes, see. But I'm pumped. Shh.
No, you answer C to a negative question. I know that much.
Well, wait a minute. Spanish, right? Isn't that...
That's Espanol.
No, you do use it in French when you're answering yes to a negative question.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Okay. See, that's what I took it in high school. So.
Yeah. Kind of like, don't you think that's unfair? See. And that'd be French. I think that's how it works. It's a negative type thing.
Yeah.
Anyway,
but we've gone way off track.
We do that
all the time.
But yeah, Disney Junior, I believe it's taking the place of SoapNet, that channel. And it's going to be basically a spinoff of the Disney Channel, but for little kids. Sort of like, what's that Nickelodeon channel? Nick Jr.?
Sprout. Oh, no, Sprout? PBS Sprout's the version. Yeah, PBS is the, Sprout is the PBS version, so.
Well, do you want me to talk about something else, like Disney's Aladdin coming on stage, or Phineas and Ferb?
Oh,
movie?
I would love to hear that. I would definitely love to hear about that, please.
It's being reported that Disney's Aladdin will be making its way to a stage near you, actually in Seattle, Seattle's Fifth Avenue Theater. That's according to Seattle Times. The show hopes to be running by summer of 2011, replacing the planned production of Rodgers and Hammerstein, Oklahoma, which has been postponed until 2011-2012. No cast or team members or anything has been announced yet. And this is just off the Seattle Times. I posted this on the Chip and Company website. Let me ask you this. If you had to choose a Disney movie to be made into a stage production, which movie would you want to see?
Ooh.
Mm. I actually have thought about this a lot. And I think for me it's a... I like Hunchback of Notre Dame, or Notre Dame, if you're being fancy. And I really love Tangled. I thought the music was really good. And,
I agree with Tangled.
Although Princess and the Frog might
Princess
work,
and
too.
The Frog.
Although the story, the problem with Princess and the Frog is that the story is a little weak, whereas Tangled, I thought, was so good. Just such a good story.
Tangled
I'm going
with
singing the music
the
for days.
Yeah, I'm not sure about Aladdin.
No, Oliver.
Oh, I think Aladdin would work.
Would make the best. Oliver and Company would make the best Broadway production, I think. You get Billy Joel back in there. Huey Lewis, you bring them up from the grave or wherever they're at. Let them do the music in there.
Huey Lewis, you mean that guy from
the news?
Sorry.
Huey Lewis and the news.
Yeah, bring in all the old actors and whoever's in the movie and do a Broadway show with
it. Midler in that, didn't you?
What about Tron?
Tron, the theater, the Broadway production.
Did you ever end up seeing that? George, did you ever end up seeing that? You haven't seen it yet? Okay.
No, I haven't seen it yet because my boys have mutinized each time I've tried to take them to go see it. So.
Okay. So, news. Gosh, we get off track real easy.
What about the Phineas and Ferb movie? I know George wants to talk about that.
Ooh, I have not heard much about it yet, but yeah, Phineas and Ferb. We'll drop anything to watch a Phineas and Ferb episode in our house because it's just, it's one of the best shows on television. So
it is.
Oh, sweet. Phineas and Ferb across the second dimension. Wow. Well, this is going to be a Disney Channel XD original movie, so it won't be in the theaters, but it will be on the Disney Channel. Planned to be aired on Friday, June 24th. So we've got a couple months to prepare for it. And it's their first feature-length film. The synopsis, which hopefully won't give too much away. Phineas and Ferb finally discover that their pet platypus, Perry, is a secret agent who battles the forces of evil almost every day. With the help of their friends, the boys team up with Perry on an adventure through a parallel universe where they must ultimately thwart the disastrous plans of an even more evil version of Dr. Doofenshmirtz. And there will be seven songs released with the film. And everybody who's watched Phineas and Ferb knows the music is phenomenal. Like,
oh my gosh, you know what I love?
Itchy Goo means that I love you. No way.
I love there's a platypus controlling me underneath the table.
Oh, that's the DJ.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I love that
I'm a
one.
DJ. Oh, and he's got the platypus. Oh, that was
beautiful.
There's
a platypus
beautiful.
Controlling me.
And he was like, and they repeat, there's a platypus controlling me. He's underneath the table. Oh, it's awesome.
Your parents absolutely are a platypus. Awesome. The government's a platypus.
So obviously somebody else watches Phineas and Ferb, not just me. So
if I had a Phineas and Ferb soundtrack that would just be unbelievably
cool.
You can
buy it. Well, it's on Amazon. It's on iTunes, and it's got like 20 some odd songs.
I'm not saying I can't get it. I'm saying if I did have it, it'd be awesome. Nudge, okay. Wink.
Now, was that a wink towards Steve, a wink towards me, a wink towards Chip, a wink towards...
anyone who's receptive.
Any...
Honestly, I'm
will it get us more? Will it get us more airtime if we send you one?
Oh, we can arrange that. Trust me.
This is the All George Show. Nothing but George for an hour and a half.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Okay, I don't need it that bad.
Okay.
Okay, so let's get back on track.
Okay.
I've got to keep everyone in line here. So we're on news, I think. And that was the Phineas and Ferb movie thing.
Yep, which is coming out this summer on the Disney Channel. Because I just got a nickel for saying that from Disney. So,
say it again, George.
It's coming out this summer on the Disney Channel.
You do that so well.
On the Disney Channel this summer.
And that article is on Chip and Company or chipandco.com.
Every time Chip says chipandco.com, he gives himself a nickel. So that's how we're paying for our research trip to go to D23 in May. Oh, okay.
I think Steve and Lisa are coming down.
We're thinking about it.
You guys
should go.
Do a live podcast from D23.
We could totally do that, minus George.
Lauren, did you have anything? Can you bring some sanity to this, please?
Well,
yes,
I'm not
please.
Sure about sanity, but I do have a little quick short one.
Okay.
NBC's Today Show hosts Al Roker, Meredith Vieira, and Natalie Morales ran in the January 8th Disney Marathon, the half marathon, actually. They ran the 13.1-mile race with more than 17,000 runners.
It amazes me that they get that many. It just really does amaze me.
Me too. I had a client running it. I can't wait to hear how she did.
That's good.
I have one more news story.
See, wait. Let me just point out, that's how you do a news story. You just report it. You don't go on tangents.
You don't editorialize?
Unless it has to do with cupcakes or something like that.
Well, yeah,
or
we can do cupcakes.
Or handsome waiters.
Or animals.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Handsome waiters.
Oh, yeah.
Never mind. I was just thinking of the email that Steve sent out. I don't know if you got it or if it was just to me.
Oh, yeah. Him telling us we could all check
we
out
could all what?
Italy and Norway.
Oh, yeah. I saw that.
Yes. Thanks, Steve. You're so funny.
Handsome waiters on rollerblades at D23 is what you guys are looking for. All right?
Yes.
Can we Google that?
Yeah, you probably
can. I'm Googling it right now. There's a picture that just came up.
They have to have Tom Selleck mustaches, though.
Yeah, obviously.
What's wrong with Tom Selleck? Huh?
I like Tom Selleck. Okay.
You know what? I never thought he was handsome. Okay.
You know what?
Never mind.
I only liked
totally
him.
Go somewhere else with this.
I liked him in Friends.
I could have gone way off. Yes?
I liked him in Friends.
Oh, I thought he was creepy in Friends.
Yeah. No.
Can I sing the song?
Just because he was dating someone 20 years younger?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that it's really whole relationship old, thing didn't work, but I did think he was pretty attractive in that. Just because he was kind of funny and witty and... okay. Okay, I'm off on a tangent now. Any more news stories? Because we need to get on to the main show topic because we're going to spend a lot of time.
Oh, I have one. I have one. And actually, mine is for George because I know how he feels about the Tiki Room. So I just want to report that today, the Tiki Room caught on fire. And it had to be evacuated. And it's actually still closed. It turns out there was a fire up in the attic.
Oh.
Yeah, I'd heard a little bit about that coming through on
Twitter. Maybe it'll be under.
Not much else.
Maybe they'll put it back under new management again.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe under old management, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I like the original version.
Yeah, the original version is fantastic. So
I'm not a fan of the new one.
Main topic.
top five tips for newbies.
Okay. Well, mine is actually going to be a news story that I'll release on Chip and Company on Friday. I'm calling it Disney World Planning 101 Tips for Newbies. And my top five or my list here is, let's start off with number one. One of the most important things for me is spreadsheets are your friends. Create a simple-to-use spreadsheet. Google Docs is free and available online. You can share them with friends and family or even look them up on your Droid or iPhone. They come in handy when you're at the parks and need to find your advanced dining reservations, or you don't want to carry around a map with you and you want to look up fireworks or parade schedules. Very simple to do. Everybody has Excel or OpenOffice or even Google Docs.
Well, so how do you carry it with you once you're in the park, though? Print it or load it on PDF. Google Docs and hit your
laptop.
Smartphone?
Laptop.
Take your laptop in the parks.
You could do a PDF. You could save it to Google Docs and look it up there. I mean, there's a bunch of different ways. You can save it as an image if you want. Mm-hmm. Okay, I guess I'll move on to number two. Is to make your advanced dining reservations as soon as possible. With the all-new Disney Advanced Dining Reservation website, you can now book your meals up to 180 days out. Do your research. I'd like to use WDW Info, and I look up all the restaurants, menus, and just get an idea where I want to eat at, and then I add that to my spreadsheet. Number three, I like to use touring plans and crowd calendar. Touring plans lines and crowd calendar. Both of them are accessible on Droid or iPhone. Basically, I live on these two tools when I'm at the parks. I start the day on crowd calendar. I look and make sure that the park I'm going to is going to be less crowded than the other parks. I check the extra magic hours and everything. And then once I'm at the parks, I use lines to check on wait times. And then I'm addicted to actually reporting the wait times as I'm walking by or just walking around the park.
That's a little intense for a first-timer at Disney World to think about inputting their times and everything like that when they're walking around. I mean,
well,
I can understand
just need
inputting.
They just need to check the data.
Sure.
But you're talking about crowd calendars. You know, most of this is mostly self-explanatory. But can you explain what a crowd calendar is going to tell you and how it tells you and how it gets its information?
Well, the crowd calendar for the touring plans, it tells you what park to visit that day, what park to avoid. It takes an account like last year's attendance, and it basically gives you a number like out of 10. It'll say like 3 out of 10 or 8 out of 10. It may say that they're doing the Christmas or the Halloween, you know, whatever events are going on at the park, it will tell you about that. And it basically just lists out where you should go while you're at the parks.
And then you can also download the app on your phone.
The actual Line app is actually a website. It's not really an app. Yeah, just go to their website. Look, they've got a bunch of different tools. I mean, I really like touring plans. If I can move them up to number one, I would, but I like my spreadsheets.
Number four.
Number four is walk a mile in my shoes. Having the right shoes at the parks can make or break your vacation. I've done the research. I've walked around the parks all day in my flip-flops only to be worn out at the end of the day. Next, I tried some Teva sandals, and it improved it a little bit more than better than the flip-flops, but it wasn't until I put my sneakers or running shoes on that actually my day was a lot more enjoyable. And I think, you know, visiting the parks, you know, just having a good pair of shoes really helps out.
Do you see the ladies, the young girls, actually some of the older girls, wearing heels? What are you thinking?
I've seen that. That's crazy.
I look at these people that dress up in their hottest outfit. It's like, come on, you're going to Disney World. And they're wearing these 3-inch heels. I don't understand it. Do you understand where you are and what you're going to be doing today? You're not here to pick up someone. You're here to walk around for 10 miles and have fun. And I don't understand that.
Mm-mm.
No. Sneakers all the way.
And you're walking at least 2 to 3 miles a day.
What about Crocs? I see so many people wearing Crocs in the park, and I'm like, I don't think I could wear those all day in a Disney park.
You know, I actually wear flip-flops.
Do you really?
I couldn't do it.
I do. And I'm fine. My mother makes fun of me all the time.
I couldn't do flip-flops. And I have done Crocs. I think they're the ugliest thing ever, but they're comfortable. And I can do the parks in Crocs.
As long as they're not Mickey Mouse Crocs, those are just...
Or wear your Mickey Mouse Snuggie while you're wearing your Mickey Mouse Crocs walking around the theme park.
You know,
so I wonder if we know anybody who has one.
They're making fun of me because I have a Mickey Mouse Snuggie and I have Mickey Crocs. And I actually took the bar exam in my Mickey Crocs.
I have no problem with that. Absolutely.
I just thought they would give me good luck. As it turns out, they didn't, but you know.
I was very happy. Last time we went to Disney World, they offered a 20% coupon on merchandise if you had an early morning, well, a mid-morning purchase. And so we took advantage of that, and I bought something that I normally probably wouldn't have spent the money on. I got a pair of Mickey Mouse sneakers, and they've got Mickey Mouse all over them, and they're adorable. Love them. But after a day of wearing them, my feet hurt so bad. And I was just, you know, walking around the house.
Because they weren't really comfortable gym shoes then?
Like no, but they're cute as all get out.
They were cute.
They were. But no one knows that they're hurting my feet. They think they're sneakers. So you can't make fun of me like I make fun of those people in the 3-inch heels. Because they've got to be miserable.
Yeah, they have to be uncomfortable. I always think I'm going to – I bring cute shoes down to Disney World, and every time I end up in sneakers.
One flip-flop, one pair of flip-flops, and one pair of sneakers.
I do the sneakers and the Crocs. That's
nothing it. But sneakers. Nothing but sneakers. So.
I don't see you
but you're a
in
guy, so you can get away with that.
Well, what else would you wear besides gym shoes or – no, anybody.
You could wear, like, sandals.
Steve wears his Tevas.
I have ugly toes.
Do you really?
Yeah. My one fault. What, Chip?
I said, and they smell.
And they smell. That's why the Two Lonely Deeks vidcast does not have smell-o-vision. So.
And that's why they're lonely.
Exactly, because our feet smell.
So. Oh, jeez.
Can't be too lonely. Chip's wife is pregnant.
That's true. That's true. So.
Bow, chicka, bow, bow.
We won't talk about
Okay. All right, let's get back to Chip. No. Chip, oh, Chip, okay. Let's do number five.
Okay, number five. I actually have a number six, and it'll be a shout-out to you guys. But the number five is drink plenty of water. Pack a nice water bottle. If you want to be really cool like me, you can get one of those Camelback hydration systems.
Oh, or you can don't.
Oh, Chip, I thought that was a hump. I felt so bad for you. And it's not a hump. It's a water filtration system. Oh. Gosh, that makes so much more sense now.
You can get the water bottles with the filter built in because I lived in Florida and the water down there isn't the greatest, even at Disney. But we have found that, you know, if we lay off the pop and drink water while we're down there, we actually feel better.
Could you define pop for people who aren't from Pennsylvania?
Soda.
Is that Coke?
Oh, Coke is what they call them.
Carbonated beverages.
Or soft drink.
Alrighty.
But get some water. You know, you can get a Gatorade packet, Crystal Light packet, to spruce it up a little bit. And you'll find that, you know, you'll feel better while you're down there, you know, with your shoes and with your spreadsheets and all the other stuff, and just make the day more enjoyable by drinking water opposed to pop.
But, Chip, you didn't add your pocket protector, your horn-rimmed glasses, your button-down white shirt, you know.
Your black socks.
Your black socks.
I like to wear socks with my flip-flops and sandals.
Nice.
Oh boy.
We're painting a picture.
What about What about your like all your pins that you're trading too? You got those on? Do you pin trade?
Yeah, I do actually.
Why are you
Chip's
laughing?
Chip's idea of pin trading is running up to little kids and ripping the pins off of them and running away.
Oh, of course. So,
Mine.
I love those birds.
Okay, my number six, and it's not really on the list, but is use a travel agent. Use someone like Pixie Vacations. Call them up, and it doesn't cost any money. It's free of charge. Use Chris. She's used to being used. But use a travel agent. That's what I would like to stress. Use a travel agent. Doesn't cost any money. They can do all the work for you. They can book all the reservations. They can do everything you can do, but better. And unless you have Chris.
Yeah, that's true. The one thing I have sort of run into is people really do think that they're going to charge you.
Yeah,
they think there's a fee. And I always say right away, you know what? The cut comes out of Disney. So why not get a little something from Disney?
Please realize that your travel agent does get paid by Disney. And if you appreciate the service that you've gotten, please book with your travel agent.
And it doesn't matter whether you book with Disney or with us. It's the exact same price.
Well, and we usually find a better deal anyway.
Yeah, and we watch the deals too.
Enough of plugging ourselves there. I mean, we help you out. We really do. So,
can't you guys also, when say I did book a vacation through Disney, can you not pick those up? You know, say I talk to Chris and she can pick up that sale from Disney, can't she?
Yeah, it's called a takeover. Yes. If the vacation is booked directly with Disney, and you decide, you know, Chris, you are a just fountain of information. I'd really like you to get credit for this. She would say, sure, let's just fill out this takeover form, and Disney will transfer it to our agency, and I'll get credit for it and commission. And then she'll continue to take better care of you. So, but we're going to help you with all your dining reservations, give you the tips that you need to get through the park, and they're going to be custom to your family, what you need. Not every family wants to do the same types of things. You know, some of the kids are going to be in bed by 7 because they're not going to go off schedule. Some of them are going to stay up till 1 in the morning and take advantage of those extra magic hours. So there's lots of different things. But we monitor the packages. If another deal comes out and you've already booked with us, it's okay, because we're going to look at that particular promotion and see which of our clients can benefit from the better deal, and we'll switch you automatically. So you're always going to get the best deal available. So book early without fear of, oh, I'm going to wait for a better deal, and if I book, I'm not going to get that better deal. So.
And I pick on Chris, but there's a reason why she's our guru when people ask questions. I mean, she knows a lot, and, you know, even
she
though
really
I pick
does.
On her, you know, she's the person that I go to. Like, I ask George a lot of history and Disney nerd questions, but as far as, like, when it comes to parks and information, stuff like that, I go to Chris, you know, probably 9 times out of 10.
Okay. All right. Well, that wraps it up for Chip, and we still have everyone else to go through, so we have to hurry up. All right. Let's go to Chris. Chris, are you ready?
Yes.
Okay.
My tips aren't in any particular order, but my first one is bring a poncho. Don't buy those cheap ones in the park. They cost a lot of money and they fall apart. Get yourself a decent raincoat or a poncho that you can fold and put in your bag.
What do you think about umbrellas?
I think umbrellas are a really bad idea because, you know, it can be crowded in the parks anyway, and you don't want to be having something that's essentially a weapon. You know,
it really is, because people, it's so crowded, and I just wanted to throw that in there because I was hoping you'd say that they're a bad idea. I think you're okay at Downtown Disney or something like that, but
you can go to REI and get like a really decent foldable raincoat for $18 that you can use forever. Or you can spend almost as much on those cheap ponchos in the park. So
are they like $7 or $8 now?
I think they're a little more than that.
It could be.
And they're really kind of just,
I didn't put this in my top five, but I thought about it, and I was going to say, going to Walmart or something like that, you can get a poncho. It's a cheap one, but, you know, if it's like a dollar. But if you plan on disposing of it after a day and it's there just in case you need the poncho, it's there and you have it.
I think it's insurance. I think you bring it for insurance.
The other problem with those ponchos is they're not very stylish. And while a raincoat is generally not that stylish, you know, those are particularly ugly. That's why I like the
plastic,
you know, like,
that drapes over your body.
How stylish. I know, but I don't want to wear something that looks, you know, bad. Okay, my next one is bring your own sunscreen from home because, okay, I'm really pale and the stuff they sell in the park is like a 45 SPF and it's that spray-on kind. And first of all, they charge like about 50% more than you would pay for in a drugstore. But secondly, it's really, it's just, it's not good enough for people who are going to burn. And it's kind of gloppy. So bring your own sunscreen. Don't buy theirs.
And also remember, don't put sunscreen on in the sun. It takes a half hour for the sunscreen to take effect. So you need to put it on inside your room. Otherwise, you're just slathering stuff on you that doesn't do any good.
You guys need to use bullfrog sunscreen.
I surf. I haven't used that before.
I've been surfing since I was in high school, and what you do is you put it on one time, and then you forget about it. It forms like this skin on you, and no matter if you get wet, if you jump in the pool, jump in the ocean, doesn't matter. It stays on you until, you know, you basically get in the shower that night, and it's an old surfer trick. And they sell it at Walmart now.
Is it kind of filmy, though?
No, you don't even notice it.
Hmm. Huh.
Never,
I might have
I
to
never
try
heard
that.
Of it. What is it called again?
Bullfrog.
Oh, never heard of it.
I've used Bullfrog, but I didn't realize that it was that good.
Yeah, I usually use Neutrogena or Aveeno. I think that works pretty well. And like a 75, you know, so.
You're like a sunscreen snob.
I, you know what? I just, I have to, or I would burn, so.
Okay.
I'm a delicate magnolia blossom, so I have to be careful when I'm out in the sun.
In Crocs.
Exactly. Well, what do you want me to wear in the parks, Chip? Heels?
Yeah. Big All right. 3-inch All right. platform heels.
Okay, you got it.
Okay, what's your third okay. one, Chris?
My number three is to use fast passes. Now, I know that sounds obvious, but I'm going to tell you something. I went to the parks for years and years and years, and then I took a break because I was in law school and then had kids and whatnot. And when I went back, I didn't know what fast passes were. And I was just wandering around the park for days until I found out what a fast pass was. So I know it sounds kind of obvious, but use your fast passes.
What do you do with them? Do you eat them or?
I actually do. They're delicious.
With a
and
cupcake.
You can go to those toppings bars and like Pico's,
Pecos Bills. Oh, this is going to be good.
Take off your Crocs. It'll be okay.
Chris? Breathe. Hello?
Now, I have to admit that the thought of a fast pass with hot melted cheese and onions and mushrooms and it sounds actually like it might be a better fast pass than for some of the rides.
Okay. I would just like to say that George and Chip are my two favorite Disney nerds, but they're trouble, okay? So just, anything. Anything that happens to me tonight is their fault. Thank you. Okay. Let me go with number two here. My number two is a good one. It's make
isn't
your,
it number four?
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I think it's number four.
Yeah.
Because we were counting
four.
Up.
Okay. Yes. My number four is make your advanced dining reservations at 180 days.
Wait, Chip, that sounds
good. Covered that. What's that, Chip?
I said, that sounds familiar.
Oh, it's not like you invented that rule.
I know. Yeah, Chip. It's not like you're, you know, you just wrote a travel guide or something. You
King
know?
Of the ADRs.
Yeah. Boy, Chip.
But I did invent eating your own fast pass.
You did.
Exactly. But
and
I perfected
you made it. Scrumptious.
Okay. My number one, I think, is the most important thing. And that is, watch out for discounts. As soon as you make your reservations, you can make your reservations more than a year in advance. Start looking for discounts either yourself, if you have huge amounts of time, or with a travel agent, and just keep up with them because, you know, I have gone and paid full price and then come back and realized there were discounts and felt pretty stupid. When you call, if you call up Disney, they're not going to tell you there are discounts available unless you ask for one. So
well, you have to tell them which one you want. You have to know exactly.
You have to know the code usually, yeah.
You can't say, are there any discounts? They'll ask you, what discount did you want?
You know, I also think a lot of people don't realize that they may have a PIN code attached to their name too.
Yeah.
Because there's been times that I've called and just randomly asked, and I had one. I didn't realize it.
Yeah, Disney randomly sends out pins, and those are discounts on packages or rooms. And, you know, they're pretty good. Sometimes they're up to 40% off your room. And you can get them in an email. You can get them in the USPS mail. Uh-huh. You can get them. And
it's random. Yeah.
It is completely random, and we have a couple theories on how they distribute those. I think if you request an information video from the mm-hmm. Disney website, they may put you on the list. If you've stayed there, they like to have you come back, and so they'll send you a pin. Had a client go to Disney, I think it was December or November, and she's written to me again. She's so excited because she got a pin. She's like, I have to go again. So we've got her ready to go again, and she's going to have a whole lot of fun and come December. And she's going to get a great deal.
I got my pin code today for December.
Well, can anybody use the pin codes? Or
no, they're not transferable.
It's attached to your name. You have to have the name. And you can't just call up and say, I can't call up and say, hi, this is Lauren Masaryk. I want to book a vacation for my sister, Lisa, and, you know, try and get it under my name, because they're gonna ask for addresses and phone numbers and make sure that it's you. Sure. But what she can do is she can share that pin, and it's
with
either
two other rooms.
I was going to say it's either three total or three additional, so it must be three total.
It's a total of three rooms.
Yeah. So you can actually share this as long as they're all booked under Lauren. You're good. Okay. I'm going to jump in with my top five just because I'm a little paranoid that someone's going to say all of mine. I know. Isn't that rude of me?
That's so unfair.
It is. Mine are not in order. And let's see. My first one that I'll start off with is go to the parks early. With that, it can be park open. It can be extra magic hours. But go early, because you're going to get a lot done. You're going to get maybe through a whole land. And especially if you hit Fantasyland or Tomorrowland, where you have a lot of rides, hit those. And you can get a lot done.
You may get to do Peter Pan without a 50-minute wait.
It's nice to not have to wait 50 minutes for Peter Pan. And hit Big Thunder.
Dumbo,
yes.
Dumbo's another big one to hit early.
So get those out of the way. Now, who is disagreeing? I heard someone disagree.
That was me. I'd have to disagree with you.
That was my number two, Lisa. I want you to know that.
Okay, sorry.
No, that's not why, because I agree with you.
Okay. So why do you disagree?
When you look at the crowd counters on like touring plans, you want to avoid the parks with extra magic hours because those are the parks that are the busiest that day.
I have to say, I totally disagree.
Okay, wait.
I totally disagree with that.
I'm going to go both ways. Just wait a second. Now, I think that...
Is that an option?
Yes, that's an option. I think that... if it's an early extra magic hours, go to the park early.
And get out.
Because people have a hard time doing it. But if you have that hopper option, get out of that park by 11. So I do agree that you need to leave that park because everyone is in that park because of the extra magic hours. And those without hoppers aren't going to leave, and they're not going to waste their day. So I kind of go both ways on that. if it's late hours. I'm not a big park hopper fan just because I think it's difficult to do, but it's great when, well, because we've got, you know, the younger kids and it's hard for us to do it. But it is a great feature to have the hopper pass when you're taking advantage of extra magic hours and you are doing some fancy dining, not fancy, but, you know, doing some table service dining where you might not want to spend. I mean, Epcot's a great place to get your dining, but you don't want to spend every day there. So why don't you just hop on over for dinner? So those are just my thoughts on, it's kind of a combination of hoppers and going in early with extra magic hours. So is that acceptable?
Well, I like the evening extra magic hours. Those are fine. I just find that the days that they have the morning extra magic hours, it's just really busy. And it's just people that are going, they're going to go for like 3 or 4 hours and then get the heck out of Dodge.
See, and I don't think it's that busy. I think that most people don't get, I think they're in the parks late at night.
Right.
And I don't find when I go for extra morning hours, I do not find the parks busy at all. I get on everything. I can hit like all of Fantasyland before it gets crowded.
You really can.
I agree with you, Lauren. I don't think it's bad in the morning. I think it's at night. And even if you look at like touring plans, they'll tell you that if you can do an extra magic hours, you know, that first hour in the morning and then get out of the park, you'll be okay. It's if you stay, it's going to get kind of busy. But the nighttime extra magic hours, the first 2 hours are always really busy.
I think people have the best of intentions. And they think they're going to get up early and hit those extra magic hours. But they don't. And they don't even hit the park opening in time. And they start coming in at 9:30 and 10 o'clock. And it takes them a while. And then I also think on the later hours, when you have the late extra magic hours, you're going to have a lot of people that, okay, so the Epcot Center, listen to me. Epcot is going to have extra magic hours from 9 till midnight. And let's go to Epcot and we'll just go all day long. And so they go and 8 o'clock hits and they're like, oh my God, let's just do Illuminations and go. This is too much. So they leave. And people have higher ambitions than they should when it comes to doing a park all day. So there's a lot of people that poop out. And this is going to bring me to my second recommendation, if you will. And that is take a break midday.
Oh, man.
Sorry. And this is going to be great if you can take
a break. You're not allowed to go anymore.
All right. I'll give you two. And then I'll give you two. Don't worry. Do the extra magic hours at the designated park in the morning. You know, stay 11, maybe 12, but you're really going to hit your crowds around that time. So if it is summertime as well, get out of the heat. Go back to the resort, swim, take a nap, do what you need to do, grab some lunch, and then when you're fully refreshed, go back to the park for round two. And, you know, you can go to the same park, whatever you want to do. Go to a different one if you have the hopper. But taking a break is going to make your life, or not your life, but your visit a lot more pleasant because you're not going to have crabby kids. You're not going to have grumpy parents because you have crabby kids. It just works out. Trust me, you get out of the heat. And it's just a good thing for everyone.
And I think that's really true also with the little ones. Like when you have smaller kids, I think it's huge to go back and rest.
Absolutely.
Well, Lisa, both of those last two are really for people that are staying on resort property as well.
It does help if you're on resort property.
Yeah, if you're staying off resort property, you should probably avoid the extra magic hours at all costs. And decide if getting back to your room makes sense, because it could take you an hour or longer to get back to your room if you're staying off-site.
Right. I'm going off the assumption that everyone likes to stay on property.
Oh, we'd love to, but, you know, you never know.
Lauren, why don't you throw out two of your own before I do?
Allowing time to get to the park from your resort. A lot of people don't always realize how long it actually may take them to get from the resort to a park, depending on where they're staying. You know, it can take 20 minutes to an hour to get to any location. So I don't think people always realize that, and I think that's a huge thing. The other thing that people don't know about, I don't think, coming in new, is that you cannot purchase gum anywhere in Walt Disney World or actually in the Orlando airport.
Oh.
And if you're a big gum chewer, like I am, that's something that a lot of people don't know, and that's just a little tip that I always tell people because...
Yeah, it's true. You
cannot
can get
buy
mints.
It anywhere.
You can get mints, but you can't get gum.
Mickey does
and
not
I used
chew gum.
To, no, he doesn't. I used to spend some time when they used to have the candy shop, the candy booth in Fantasyland. Used to spend some time back there selling candy and whatnot, and people were very disappointed because at the time we also didn't sell cotton candy. Said there were three things you would never find in Disney World, and that was gum, cotton candy, and something else. And I don't remember what that something else was. It was carnival-ish.
Tom Selleck.
Maybe. Maybe. But, yeah, there were three things, and people were disappointed. And so I was often known to give out my own gum, because I, too, am a gum chewer. And oddly enough, people took it. They're like, oh, yeah, thanks. Give them a stick of gum, and they're like, yeah.
You know, desperate times, Lise.
Yeah. I must be.
That reminds me, all kids listening to this, do not take candy from strangers.
Do not. Even if it's a cast member. I had, this one was already done. I said fast pass, so Chris already said that. It's very important to learn what they are, how to use them, and how to use them to your advantage. So those are good things. So I guess another one would be, I mean, this kind of goes with almost everything that Chip said, was research, study the maps, make a plan, get familiar with the layout of the parks so you're not spending all your time going from Pirates of the Caribbean to Space Mountain to It's a Small World. You need to understand what you want to hit. Get a game plan. Figure out everyone's top two or three rides that they have to do. And instead of going, okay, it's your turn, Sally. Okay, Johnny, your turn. And going from here to there, plan it out and make it work. Or just do everything. So that's one of mine. Go ahead, Lauren. We're kind of splitting this up now.
My biggest thing, I think, is planning ahead.
Mm-hmm.
I think that people that don't plan ahead get to Disney and it is so overwhelming when they get there. They don't know where to start. They don't know where to go. They don't know where to eat because they can't get dining reservations. I think that you need to plan ahead. I think that has got to be the number one thing. Without planning ahead, I think you're lost. And I don't think you really get the full experience. And I think you spend half your time wandering around aimlessly and you miss a lot.
I think there is an art or a science to doing a proper Disney vacation. And ADRs are definitely a part of it. And pre-print planning. Some people laugh when you say that you have to make your dining reservations 180 days out. And
can I just say that everyone I've ever told that has laughed at me? Unless they're like involved in like the online Disney community, they're like, are you kidding?
Yep.
Yeah, people think that's really strange.
Yep. I gave
a used unofficial guide to my neighbor, and they had been to Disney World several years before, and they were going on another trip, and I gave them my old copy, and they were like, really? You want me to read this book about Disney World? And I'm like, yeah, you know, just take a look at it. And they thought I was crazy.
Well, I'd like to point out that on Chip and Company, all the writers, including Chris, and we have writers from Pixie Vacation, Ken, Jessica, everybody, they like to write and give people these kind of tips that we're talking about here. I try to do like a Disney World Planning 101, like the article I wrote and then read to you guys tonight. But that's like one of our number one things is to help people plan their vacations. So I just wanted to plug the website if I could.
Anyway, I have one more tip from my list, and it's about stroller rental. I have a couple of opinions about this. Sorry, Disney, but don't rent a stroller at Disney because you have a couple of options that might work out a little better. If you're within driving distance, just bring your own. Or we bring our Mac Daddy stroller because I know that Brooke is still going to sleep during the day and, you know, I want her to be comfortable. But when it was just Amber and we could push her around and she could walk and she wasn't necessarily going to sleep, but if she was just tired, we did the umbrella stroller and we actually bought one at a Walmart down there. I think we forgot it or something, but for $20, you can buy an umbrella stroller and you can take it back to your resort. Some people complain, you know, I'll say that it's a better idea to have your own stroller. And other people say, why would you want to do that? You can just leave it at the park and not worry about it. Well, at the end of the day, she's real tired and she doesn't want to walk. And I certainly don't want to carry her. So it's a good thing for us to bring it back to the resort, even though you have to fold it up before you get on the bus. Or, well, I don't think they make you do that for the monorail. But
no.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I like that. So.
Well, and sometimes I think the stroller is good, too, just from the safety aspect, because when you're waiting around all those buses, if you have one or, you know, more than one kid, it's hard to keep an eye on two little ones. And if one's in the stroller, you can at least, you know, kind of be assured that they're not running out in front of a bus or something, which is sort of my big fear.
We stayed at the Polynesian in 2006, and my youngest was, like, barely three. That was his free trip, since we didn't pay for him. And we had a little umbrella stroller. And when we were all getting ready in the morning, he just sat in the stroller. He was like, push me, whenever, let's go.
Yeah.
And it was fantastic because he wasn't tired the whole day. It's a long walk, you know, from anywhere in the Polynesian or any resort to the bus stop, the monorail, the boat. It's a long walk to get into the park. It's a long wait. Mm-hmm. You know, I agree completely. That's an awesome tip. And like you said, buy one of the cheap ones and leave it at the end of the week or something, or give it to another family that you see. You know, spread some pixie dust.
Waiting in line for a stroller.
Mm-hmm. That can shave. That can save you 30, 40 minutes.
Very good idea.
And I like what you said, Lisa. You need to be very conscientious when you do take the strollers because, you know, when you're getting on and off the bus, it does take up space and things like that. But, you know, just don't swing it around your head as you.
No. And Steve's really got to get that under control. but I was also going to point out, if it's not possible for you to bring your own and Walmart is just not an option for you, there are companies out there that rent strollers and the service is just incredible what they offer. We happen to use Magic Strollers. They're very good. There's Orlando Stroller Rental. We use them as well.
I like them.
But what you're going to get is you make your reservation ahead of time and you tell them I'm arriving on the 1st and I'm leaving on the 7th. They will have your stroller waiting for you at the bell stand. And you go, when you check in, you say, I should have a stroller here. And they say, oh yeah, here it is. So it comes in a bag, in a pouchy type bag, clean. It's top notch. And you can get a single or a double. And so now you've got a stroller. You keep it with you the whole time. And then on day 7, you kind of clean it up a little, be a little courteous, thank you. Put it back in its pouch. And you go back to the bell stand. And you say, hey, they're going to come pick this up. So here you go. Thank you. The rates are a lot cheaper than what you would pay even getting multi-days at the parks. So I just think it's a great thing. And you get a double stroller and you're going to pay a third of what you would going directly through Disney. And again, Disney, I'm sorry to take this away from you, but I'm looking at Magic Stroller and what they're offering is,
it's almost half the
Disney,
price.
Disney, if you're doing a double stroller for a multi-day, it's $27 a day. You do a double stroller with Magic Stroller, it's $25 for your first day and $9 each additional day. $9 versus $27. So I was pretty accurate with a third. So the seats recline. They go to a full reclining position. They have drink
more comfortable.
Cup holders. They are more comfortable. They deliver the stroller by 10 a.m., and you have to drop it off at the bell stand by 2 p.m., otherwise you charge for another day, which isn't a huge deal if you're going to be staying later. It's a good service. So anyway, that's that. And that finishes my list, so rent a stroller. I'm done. All right, so I think this brings us to George. What do you have?
Are you sure? Okay. I decided to probably take a little bit of different tack from most of you guys since I'm such a book person, needless to say. This all goes along with the line which you guys were talking about earlier with being really, really prepared before you go. My first tip, I guess, for a newbie is to purchase and read the Birnbaum Guide to Walt Disney World. And I know most of you guys are going to think that's sacrilege, but as Chris mentioned earlier, giving somebody the unofficial guide can be a little daunting and might color their trip the wrong way. And the Birnbaum Guide is a nice, easy way to get into what Disney World is all about because it can be quite overwhelming. And it's friendly. And, you know, it gives Disney more of your own money.
What do you want to read for?
There are pictures in there, Chip. There are pictures. And they also have drawings of some of the characters that you can look at in color as well.
Okay, good.
While you're driving down there or waiting to eat your food or something like that. But it's a great way to get people started. Number two, because I guess I actually was going backwards, is the book Beyond the Attractions by Lisa Batista. I'm not sure how you say her last name. I know she was on the show. That's a great book for people that have kids that are under five. Because she really breaks it down, has a lot of good details, a lot of good information for people that are doing that. The third one is the massive Disney Park DVD set that was released this summer. And it's 6 DVDs that look at all of the theme parks and talk about the history, what to do, what to see. It's a great way to pop those suckers in, watch them with the family, plan what attractions you want to see, what looks exciting. Just a different way of letting everybody see what's going to happen, especially if you haven't been there before. And that way you can share them in beautiful color, so to speak.
I've got those right here, actually.
Yes, I've got them too. They're in the other room right here. Not with me right now, per se. But it's a great choice just because it'll get you used to the parks and what you're going to see. Number four gets a little geekier or deekier, I guess. It's the Modern Marvels DVD that the History Channel did a few years ago. It's 2 hours that really, really gets behind the details, behind the scenes of how they built Walt Disney World, some of the history. You know, and that way you can walk around and spout off really geeky stuff while you're walking. And the last one, of course, is another book. It's The Hidden Magic of Walt Disney World by Susan Venice. I read this one before I went on my trip in August, and it's about 300 pages. And what she's done is she's gone back and done a lot of behind the scenes or hidden details about the Disney parks that you may not know. And you know, I found a few errors in her book. I won't call her down on all of them. But it's a great way to read on the airplane, read in the hotel room in preparation for the next day. It doesn't give you those planning tips like the unofficial guide does, but it does give you some little hidden things to look for, some things that might make your trip a little more magical. That was a pretty quick list. I will pop that list up at Imagine Nerding on Friday. But it just sort of follows along the line of what Chip and Lisa and Lauren and Chris have said, prepare and plan. Make sure you know what you're getting into before you get into it, because otherwise it could be, you know, a very scary trip.
Hey, George, are there any websites you'd like for planning trips?
Well, like everybody said, I like touringplans.com, which is great. All Ears, Deb Will's All Ears site is absolutely amazing because she lists all the menus, great hotel room photographs. Of course, ImagineNerding.com, ChipAndCompany.com, EverythingWDW.blogspot.com.
All right, so that's going to wrap it up for this week's show. Thank you again to George from ImagineNerding and Chip from Chip and Company. That's ChipAndCo.com. Plug. You can download our show at mousechat.net and also from iTunes. Please send any of your comments and questions to comments@mousechat.net and join us again here on Mouse Chat.